What we fear becomes God's promise. And to explain what I mean by that, I want to point out that Abraham had received so many promises from God. Abraham had received the promise that he would inherit a land to call his own. He had received the promise of descendants more numerous than the stars in the sky or the sand in the desert. He had received a promise that he and his family would become a blessing through which all the peoples of this world would be blessed. And God had asked for nothing in return. My family, my wife, Annalisa, and our 4-year-old daughter, Sophia, and I have received so many good things from our local library. Like every other family I know with children here in Chico, we received from the library not just books, but story time, a place where we could gather with other kids and hear a book read aloud and have music and dancing and a craft, all for free. The library was a place where we could go and play with puppets or just hang out, because the library is one of the few places of our society where we don't have to pay or justify our presence. We can just be there, and the library asks nothing in return. But there is always a part of me that knows that if you go out into public, there's always a risk, there's always a danger, and so you wonder, if it's free, might there still be a price to pay at some point? And Abraham, while he has received all these incredible promises from God, Abraham knows that God is not the only divinity worshipped in this world, that there are other gods that demand a price for the blessings that they give, and some of those other deities demand child sacrifice. And so I wonder if Abraham wondered to himself, will there be a day when my God demands a price for all the promises that he has given? And then one day, he hears God's voice say, Abraham, take your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice to me. That day came for us this past Monday at 5:12 p.m. when a shooter attacked our library. And I will admit, when I first heard that news, the main feeling I had was one of resignation. I had hoped that our community would be different from all the other communities in this country which have had mass shootings, and perhaps I wasn't surprised to find out we aren't so different. And I can't help but wonder if Abraham didn't also feel a sense of resignation when God said to sacrifice his son, because Abraham had argued with God before. When God is threatening to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham goes to the mat with God to try to save a city that he doesn't live in. But when God asks Abraham to kill his own son, Abraham simply gets up early in the morning and journeys 3 days and then places the wood on which he will burn his son on his son's own back to carry. And he binds his son hand and foot to the altar, and he draws his knife to fulfill God's command. And at the last moment, God says, stop. Do not harm your child. 2 people died at the library on Monday. Cody Hull, who was 46, and Robert Johnson, who was 73, and each of their deaths is a tragedy, but I give thanks for God that a child was not killed this past week. And yet there's a part of me that wonders, what about next time? Will a child be killed next time? Because there always seems like there is another next time. And while God may stop Abraham from killing his son, the question of will there be a next time pervades throughout the Bible. Generations later, God will say to Moses to forbid the Hebrew people from sacrificing children. But the Hebrew people never quite believe it. Generations later, the kings of Israel will again and again offer their children as burnt sacrifices to the idol Moloch in hopes that this false god might bestow blessings upon them and their kingdom. And there is even a judge in Judges chapter 11, a man by the name of Jephthah, who has won a great battle against the enemies of Israel, and he gives glory to God, and he thinks that God deserves something to honor this great victory, to ensure that the blessings keep coming. And he says, God, I will sacrifice to you the first thing I see that comes out of my house. The first thing that comes out of his house is his only daughter, dancing and playing the tambourine, praising God. And Jephthah, he honors his vow and sacrifices his daughter to the God who has said, I don't want these sacrifices. Because fundamentally, there is this doubt about what is in God's heart. Will God demand the most of us, our greatest fear, in exchange for God's blessings? And that fear creates the conditions that allow that fear to come to pass. And so it is in our own communities. We have a terrible shooting happen, and the reasonable reaction is to say, well, we need to stay away from the public. We need to keep our kids out of the community. We need to stay home. And in so doing, we cut them off from the village that they need to pour love and support and encouragement into their hearts at this moment more than any other. And even in our homes, we know there's always the possibility of danger. So in those homes, we buy guns to keep our families safe. And because we want them on hand in case an intruder comes in, we don't keep them locked away in a safe or separated from ammunition. And the truth is, the person most likely to be shot by a firearm that we own is a member of our own family. The person most likely to be killed by a gun that we own is the owner of that gun when they turn it against themselves. Our fear creates the condition that allows our fears to come to pass. But God takes our fear and turns it into a promise of hope. When Isaac asks his dad, "We have everything for the sacrifice except for the lamb," Abraham responds, "God himself will provide the lamb." And in that moment, Abraham isn't making up a lie to comfort his son. Abraham is professing his faith which is not only obedient to God, but insists that it knows God's heart, knows who God is. And indeed, God provides. God provides not just a ram for Abraham on that mountain. God provides the Lamb of God once and for all in Jesus. For in Jesus, God gives his answer to a world that wonders what is in God's heart, to a world that wonders what God will demand of their daughters and sons. God says in Jesus, "I will become a son so you can see." Abraham and Isaac journey 3 days to the place of sacrifice. In Jesus, God will journey 3 days through the grave. Abraham places on Isaac's back the wood on which he will be sacrificed. In Jesus, God takes onto his own back the wood of the cross on which he will be crucified. Isaac allows himself to be bound without a word of protest. And in Jesus, God allows the world to crucify him without saying a word. In Jesus, God reveals who God is. God reveals God's heart. God's message is clear. that God does not want a single child to be sacrificed, and so God will gladly become a child and give himself instead. Friends, this does not mean that God is safe. God will send prophets to God's people, and repeatedly God's people will reject and kill those prophets. But it does mean that God does not desire the sacrifice of a little one, but the welcome of every single little one. Jesus says that whoever gives even a cup of cold water to a little one in the name of a disciple will not lose their reward. Because when we welcome the least and the littlest, we welcome Jesus, we welcome God, and this is how God desires that we love God, through hospitality to each other. On Monday, the shooter attempted to place terror into the heart of this community. But instead, the heart of this community was revealed to contain God's love. Our police responded within 2 minutes to the call of a shooter at the library, and it took them only 2 more minutes to enter into that library without hesitation and arrest the shooter. The shooter attempted to bring glory to his own name by this act of violence, but instead he brought glory to our library staff. Our library staff, who every single day offer a cup of cold water, offer books, offer welcome to whoever comes through their doors, and on the day when death itself walked into their door, that library staff acted heroically to gather together the patrons and guide them to safety. The shooter attempted to defile our library, but our library has been consecrated with the blood of Cody Hull, who died shielding an 8-year-old girl, the daughter of his girlfriend. He shielded her with his own body from a shotgun blast. Friends, the symbol of our faith is the cross. The cross was once the sign of the worst death that the Roman Empire could inflict upon a person, but by dying on the cross, Jesus has made it the sign of God's greatest love for this world. And so it is with our library. On Tuesday night, we had a vigil at St. John's Episcopal Church, and afterwards, there was an informal gathering at the library. Nearly 200 people. Less than about 24 hours after our community had been attacked there, gathered in that place, and they brought with them flowers and candles and songs and prayers. And together, we walked around the perimeter of the library, and we reclaimed it as a space that belongs to us as a people of Chico and Butte County. And then people spoke, and as each person spoke, their message was always the same, that they see our community not in this act of violence, but in that countless acts of love that happened before, during, and after it. They see our community in those who are willing to gather in this place and say, this is still our library. There's a children's book called The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe. It's written by C.S. Lewis. You can check it out from your local library. And in it, Jesus is depicted as a lion named Aslan. And a little girl sees this lion and she asks of him, is he safe? And the answer is, no, he's not safe. But he is good. And friends, that is the message of the cross. It is the message of the binding of Isaac. It is the message of our library. Because the truth of the matter is, neither our God, nor our community, nor our lives are ever truly safe, but they are all truly good. And so, friends, if you feel yourself withdrawing from our community after the events of this past week, if you feel yourself taking another route so you can drive around our library and not see it, if you feel yourself not wanting to go out into public, I invite you this week, go visit our library. It is 2 blocks down the street. And its doors may be closed, but the heart of our community is open there. Go and see the flowers. Go and see the messages. Go and see the place where love triumphed over death. Go and see the place where life is even now defying death. Go see the promise of the cross. That what we fear the most, God can transform into the greatest symbol of love. That is our library. And once you have seen it there, go into this beautiful city of Chico. Go into our parks. Go to our concerts. Go to our festivals. Receive a cup of cold water from Chico and give one in return. For when we welcome each other, we welcome the one who gives us life. Amen.